Welcome to Revealing Jesus. Are you hungry to learn more about our beautiful Savior Jesus? I am your host, Christina Pereira, lover of Jesus, apostolic leader, licensed and ordained minister, author, podcaster, and kingdom party planner. Did you know that the Bible declares that grace and peace are multiplied to us in the knowledge of Jesus? And that simply means the more we learn about our beautiful Savior, the more we will experience all He died to give us. Join me for all things the King and His Kingdom, including revelatory teaching, interviews with fivefold ministers, media leaders, authors, and more. Come discover the beauty of God displayed all across the body of Christ. Together, we are revealing more of Jesus to a hurting world today.
I want to activate people, I want to activate Christians and show them how simple it is to live a supernatural faith-filled lifestyle where they see the miraculous in their lives on a regular basis.
But before we get started, I want to give a quick shout out to our Christina Pereira Ministry sponsors who help support the mission to unite the body of Christ and fulfill the Great Commission with love. A big shout out to Gopher Ministries, who provides all of our equipment for our gospel events. Davis Financial Services, who does all of our financial accounting. Harvest Family Network, through which I am licensed and ordained. And Life Changing Productions, who helps put together evangelistic events to reach our city for Jesus. If you or your organization are interested in becoming a CPM sponsor, you can find out more information on our website at christinapereira.org. Do you have a loved one special occasion coming up and don't know what to get them? Well, now you can sponsor an episode of Revealing Jesus in their name. And you can give them a special dedication message read on air. It makes a great gift. To find out more information, just go to christinapereira.org/podcast. Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning into this week's episode of Revealing Jesus with Christina Pereira. I am your host, Christina, and I'm so excited to have you with me here today. I hope and I pray that you are doing well right where you are and enjoying the continuously flowing favor of grace pouring from our beautiful Savior and Father in heaven. I've got a great show for you today. I have an amazing guest with me today. He is an evangelist. And he is the author of the new book, Activating Miracles, Enter into Supernatural Faith Without Limits. I have with me here today, Chris Michelson. Chris, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks, Christina. It is an honor to be on Revealing Jesus with you today and to be able to talk about my book and all that God is doing. But again, it's a great honor to be with you guys today.
Oh, well, thank you so much. You know, I have to say, I read a lot of books, but your book, I read cover to cover, and it was so full of faith. So thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Wow. Thank you. What a great, great compliment. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. You're so welcome. Well, I'm excited to talk to another fellow evangelist and share more about Jesus. And I'm excited for all of the miracles that God wants to do in 2024. I believe it's going to be a real season for them. So, since this is Revealing Jesus, I have to ask you how you met our beautiful Savior Jesus.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. So in 2006, my life was a mess. I was living a lifestyle of sin and bondage, addiction. A lifestyle that is very common in really in the world today, in America especially. And my life had really spiraled out of control. I grew up knowing all about Jesus and going to church every Sunday, but I had gone very far from the Lord and very far from the things of God and really pursued this lifestyle of just alcoholism and drugs and everything that the world has to offer. And after a number of years in 2006, I was dating what is now my beautiful wife, Amanda. We were dating at the time. She didn't grow up in a Christian home at all. And somebody had invited us to come to church. And so she said to me, she said, would you be interested in going with me to church this Sunday? And I said, yeah, sure. And she was very surprised that I would even want to go to church. But because when you live in the world, you don't like to talk about church or Jesus or God or the Bible or any of these things. So she didn't know that over the first few months of our relationship, she didn't know that I had grown up going to church, but I had become very far from the Lord. And so we woke up that Sunday morning, we went to church, and we heard this amazing message. It was at this big mega church in Minneapolis, and it was amazing. It was a wonderful service. But, you know, we didn't get saved that Sunday morning. But the pastor said something that changed my life forever. He said, on Wednesday night, we're having a special service. Come back on Wednesday. Well, that's what I heard. All I heard was, we're having a special service on Wednesday. Come back to church Wednesday night. So Wednesday night, my wife and I show up to this mega church again, the first time I had been to church in years. And now we are there two times within 1 week. And we got to church, and to our horror, we were at the wrong church service. What the pastor had actually said was, on Wednesday night, we're having a special service for parents whose teenage children are dealing with drugs and alcohol. Come back to church on Wednesday. And to our horror, we showed up to the wrong service. But, you know, God has a funny way of speaking to us and getting us to do things we don't want to do.
Yeah.
And so we showed up to the wrong service, but it was the right service. It was the exact service that God wanted us to be at. Mm-hmm. And we sat in this mega church in the very back, letting all of the parents who had come to the service sit up in the front. And while this pastor was ministering to all of these parents on the topics of sin and, you know, drugs and alcohol and all of the things that we were currently living in, he was ministering to the parents in the front. The Holy Spirit was ministering to us in the back. And God began to deal with our hearts and show us the love and the kindness and the goodness of God. And we felt the presence of God. And my wife was she couldn't stop crying. And I was sitting there knowing that God had a better plan for my life, but that I wasn't on that plan. And so there was no altar call for salvation. But we decided to go out to the car after the service, and we started opening up to each other and talking about Jesus. And we made a decision that night in the car, in the parking lot by ourselves, that we were going to start serving Jesus with all of our lives. And from there on, God radically changed our life, and we've never been the same ever since.
I love that so much. Isn't it so like God to just get you at the right place at the right time with the right people doing the right thing?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
I love that so much. I love that he knows that we can be a little stubborn and a little, well, frankly, stupid.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I'm sure you've heard many, many times before, but there's many names for God, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. And there's all of these names of God. And one of them that's not in the Bible is Jehovah Sneaky. And he was definitely sneaky that night in getting us to show up to that church service, but he had a plan, and I wouldn't change it for the world.
I know. And his intention in his heart is always for our good. And so even when he's Jehovah Sneaky, we can trust him that it's for our good.
Yes, absolutely.
So good. Well, I've told our listeners already how much I loved reading through your book. Tell me, how did God put this on your heart to write this? What do you hope people see?
You know, that's a great question. And really my heart behind writing this was that I want to inspire a generation to live a lifestyle of faith that produces the supernatural in our daily lives. God wants us to live a life of the supernatural because he is supernatural. And when we get saved and we receive the Holy Spirit, we have the supernatural power of God available to us at all times. And God wants his people to live a lifestyle of encountering him and divinely hearing from him and being divinely instructed by the Lord, which is nothing short of miraculous, to be divinely instructed by God to live a supernatural life. From the moment my wife and I got saved, we got filled with the Holy Spirit very early on in our walk with the Lord, and we have seen the supernatural time and time and time again on a regular basis, whether it's from seeing God divinely instruct us to go to a church service. You know, I don't know what happened that Sunday morning. Maybe there was an angel there covering my ears when the pastor was making that announcement.
Yeah.
And just at the right time, he opened them and I heard, come on Wednesday night, you know? But I truly believe the supernatural was, in fact, in play right there on that Sunday morning because God loves his people. He loves us and he wants us to live a life where we interact with him, where we interact with his spirit, where we can live this supernatural lifestyle and see people encounter Jesus. You know, it's all about encountering Jesus. Really, at the end of the day, why do miracles happen? Why did Jesus do miracles? Why did his disciples do miracles? It was really all to glorify God and to bring people into an encounter with the one true living God. And so really, that's what it all boils down to. I want to activate people. I want to activate Christians and show them how simple it is to live a supernatural, faith-filled lifestyle where they see the miraculous in their lives on a regular basis.
I love that so much. You know, I was actually just thinking this morning when I was spending some time with the Lord, I was thinking about how he is I am. And yeah. I am is always he was, he is, and he is coming. And so because he is I am, he's ever present. And, you know, when he tells us that that's who he is, he basically gives us a blank check. And he says, I am your healer. You fill in the blank. Whatever it is you need, I will be to you.
Yeah.
When we see Jesus as all of those things, we open up the door for him to do the miraculous in our life. So tell me about some of the times you've seen Jesus as healer. Give me some testimonies.
Wow. So I have seen so many miracles. You know, we do crusades all over the world. Yeah, big gospel crusades, sometimes attended by the tens of thousands and even by the hundreds of thousands. And we have seen more miracles than I could ever count or remember. But anything from seeing the paralyzed start walking again, we've seen tumors disappear. We've seen demonized people instantly set free. We've seen all kinds of pains and disorders vanish. We've seen people who had metal in their bodies get healed and were supernaturally able to bend over where previously the metal rods would have restricted them from being able to bend over. So we've seen God do a lot of miracles. But one of the miracles that's very near and dear to my heart actually happened at a time when I was least expecting it. You know, a lot of times when we think about the miraculous, we have this idea in our mind that there has to be this perfect moment where the Holy Spirit is moving at just the right moment. And
right.
There's the hallelujah chorus is being sung and you can feel the presence of God. And we know that in those moments, God is definitely moving. You can feel God moving. But a lot of times we think that that is the moment where miracles happen and almost as if they don't happen at other times. Mm-hmm. And what I want to help people understand is God is always wanting to move, even if we don't feel him, even if it's not in the right situation. And so one of the stories in my book that I share is this story of how I was at a funeral service. It was actually my very own mother's funeral service. And so I was very sad. You know, we prayed and believed God for her miracle, and we didn't see the miraculous. We didn't see what we had hoped to. And she, you know, was a little bit in her older years. But anyway, she passed away. And here we are at her funeral, and I encounter a man at the funeral that I had known from a very young age. This man had been a childhood friend. I was friends with all of his children. He was a farmer from the small town in Minnesota that I grew up in. And he was hunched over. He was almost crippled. He could barely walk or talk when I saw him there at the funeral that day. And I said to him, I said, "What happened?" He began to try to tell me what the condition was that he had, and he couldn't communicate it. His wife had to finish the sentence. She said, "Well, Lauren contracted Parkinson's disease 15 years ago, and he has begun to be worse and worse and worse ever since. In fact, today he's on 15 different pills of medication every single day, and yet he's only getting worse, and the doctors just want to increase his medication." And right there, in what seemed like the worst moment in the world to pray for somebody and the worst time in the world to expect a miracle, here I am at my own mother's funeral, you know, in the church that the funeral is taking place in. Out of my mouth, I just said, "Can I pray for you?" I think it actually shocked me that I even said, "Can I pray for you?"
Yeah.
Because in the natural, it seemed like the wrong time for a miracle. But with God, every time is a good time for a miracle. And I said, "Can I pray for you?" He said, "Yes." I laid my hand on his shoulder and I just prayed and commanded the Parkinson's disease to leave his body. Well, I didn't have very much time there that day because the funeral service was, you know, about to be underway. And I just said, "Let me know what happens." After the service, he leaves and he heard the Holy Spirit speak to him and say to him, "Now you've got to show some faith." He said, "I wonder what that means," because Lauren was not a Pentecostal. He is not from that type of upbringing. He grew up Lutheran. He's in his 80s and he loves the Lord. He loves the Bible. He loves the Word of God. And so he pondered and said, "I wonder what that means to show some faith." And then he said, "I knew what it meant. I knew that I needed to start reducing my medication." So he began to reduce his medication. And over the course of a couple of weeks, he got off all medication and he found that he was completely healed of Parkinson's disease, symptom free, and ended up having two different specialists over the next few months that both confirmed, "You are completely healed of Parkinson's disease and that it is, quote, a miracle by the doctor's report." And so we praise God. He's still completely, totally healed. Amen. And Parkinson's disease is one of these diseases. There's no cure for it. It can only be the supernatural power of God. And it was God intervening at a time when I least expected it. And God wants to do that in and through each and every one of us.
I love that so much. You know, it's just like the Lord. And I wholeheartedly believe with you that he always wants to move. The time for revival is always now. It's yes. Always within us.
And absolutely.
He's always speaking. He's always giving. He's always blessing. He's always doing these things because he is so full and he has so much to give. I think it's really painful for the Lord, the times when we're like, okay, well, you know, this isn't the right moment, when he's sitting there like, loaded down with blessings, saying, no, come on, I just want somebody to believe, you know?
Yes, yes.
And I love that so much. And I'm laughing over here because I know exactly what you're talking about. It's great when the Hallelujah Chorus is going, but when, you know, you just one off your friends like, hey, can you pray for me real quick? And you just got in a fight with your family and you just don't feel like nobody in God still hears them, feels them.
Yes. So,
amazing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's because it's not about us.
Yes. Amen.
It's not about us. A lot of times we want to make miracles about us. Like we have to somehow attain them, or we have to work them up, or we have to be at some spiritually high level to do the miraculous. But some of the greatest miracles I've seen have happened when little children go up and pray for people, or people that are brand new Christians start laying hands on the sick and praying in faith, and God does the miraculous. So it's not about us. It's all about Him, but it's all about us choosing to live by faith and activate the miraculous in our lives.
I love that so much. Some of my most favorite prophetic words I've ever gotten have come from children.
Wow. Yes.
I love that. They're so precious.
Amen.
So good. Well, you know, your book was such an activator of faith. In your book, you said faith is spelled trust, T-R-U-S-T. Can you share with our listeners a little bit more about what you mean by that? Are you a new believer in Jesus and don't know where to start? First, let me say, welcome to the family of God. It's so important to anchor yourself in the gospel and the finished work of Jesus. This powerful workbook includes foundational gospel truths to anchor your heart in new covenant reality, and interactive journaling prompts to begin your relationship with Jesus. This workbook includes teaching based on the Word of God. It will help you understand precisely why you need a Savior, what Jesus has done for you, your new creation life in Him, and how to have a relationship with Him. Journal through the pages to dive deep into the heart of God for you as His child and increase your faith as you learn about our beautiful Savior. Be sure to pick up a copy of New Believer Workbook, Foundational Gospel Truths to Begin Your Relationship with Christ Jesus today. Links in the show notes, or you can pick up a copy at Amazon or ChristinaPereira.org/store.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all our ways and He will direct our steps. And so trust is really faith, as I mentioned in the book, is spelled T-R-U-S-T. It's trusting in the Lord and believing that no matter what's going on in our life, He can do the miraculous, and He is with us in every situation that we go through. And so really trusting in God is having faith in Him and in His Word, because it all boils down to the Word of God. Faith, the Bible says, comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. And so when we talk about trust and having faith, we're literally talking about trusting in the One who gave us His Word, trusting in His Holy Word. And, you know, there was an amazing story in the Bible of Peter and the disciples when they were out in the ocean and a terrible storm had risen up, and Jesus had decided to stay back and pray on this particular situation. And the disciples are out there by themselves in the middle of the sea, being tossed by the waves and the wind. And it must have been a horrible, horrible storm, because these were seasoned fishermen, and yet they were still terribly afraid. And all of a sudden, the Bible says they saw what they thought was a ghost walking on the water.
Yeah.
And Jesus yells out to them and says, don't be afraid. It's me, Jesus. And Peter cries out and he says, Lord, if it's you, command me to come out to you on the water. And Jesus gives him one word answer. He says, come. Come. That was it. That was the word of the Lord. Jesus said, come. And with that one word, Peter stepped out of the boat in the middle of the sea, in the middle of a raging storm, and he begins to do the supernatural. He begins to activate miracles. He starts walking on the water. And the Lord showed me something years ago that Peter actually, yes, he was walking on the water. Yes, his feet were wet from the water, but he wasn't really walking on the water. His faith was not in H2O. Mm-hmm. He was walking on the very words of Jesus, the very word of God. Jesus said one word, come. With that one word, Peter put his trust in that word. Mm-hmm. If Jesus said, come, then I can stand on his word. And with every step Peter took, he heard that word, come, come, come. And it was the word of God. It was faith in the word of God. And it was his trust in the holy word of Jesus. Jesus, the word of God, who became flesh and dwelt among us, spoke the word and said, come. And with that word, Peter was able to step out and trust the word of God and perform the miraculous. And so when we talk about trust, it's literally putting our trust in Jesus, but specifically in his word. If the Bible says it, then I believe it. Mm-hmm. If the Bible says it, then it is so. If the Bible says lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, then I'm going to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. If God says that I will live and not die, and I will declare the works of the Lord, then I'm going to stand on that word, and I'm going to trust that word, and I'm going to know that I will live and I will not die, and I will declare the work of the Lord. Several years ago, I was in Pakistan, going to Pakistan to do my very first gospel outreach. I had never been to the nation of Pakistan before. And here we are, we're going into this massive field where thousands of people had gathered to come and hear the message that night. And all of a sudden, I was overwhelmed with fear. And fear is a topic that we talk a lot about in Activating Miracles, because fear is one of those blockers that stops us from continuing to enter into faith. And here we were, we had just arrived to the crusade, and we were about to go up to the stage, but our vehicle that we came in was not able to get us to the stage. The way the field was laid out, we had to park the car on the backside of the crowd and walk down the center aisle through this massive crowd of people. And as I'm walking toward the stage through this massive crowd of people, I had several thoughts go through my head very quickly. You know how you can think many thoughts in like a split second?
Yeah.
Well, that is exactly what happened. All of a sudden, I thought, wow, we are in a very predominantly Muslim country. A Muslim country where Osama bin Laden was hiding in and killed by our Navy SEAL. A country that is known for the Taliban and ISIS and people that are very opposed to Christianity and the preaching of the gospel. And then I thought, I'm sure glad we hired some security guards to provide us with some security at the crusade. And then I remembered something. I remembered that we didn't have very much money to hire security guards. So we got the cheapest security company we could afford.
Oh.
And they didn't even have uniforms. And so the only way that I could tell who was security and who wasn't security was because our security guards were carrying AK-47 machine guns. And then it dawned on me, wait a minute, anyone could be carrying an AK-47, and I don't know if they're security or not. And then another thought came to my mind. Now, wait a minute. There are no Christian security companies in Pakistan. And Christianity is less than 2%. So the odds of even one of these security guards being a Christian is highly unlikely. And I thought, oh my goodness, they're all Muslim. They might be the one to take me out. And then I had another thought. The Taliban could pay them more money than what I paid them to protect me to take me out. And I'll tell you, in that moment, I was overwhelmed with fear. It just almost paralyzed me. I could barely walk. And we're walking down this center aisle. Thousands of people are there. The music is happening. People are dancing and clapping to the music. It's the, you know, the very beginning of the meeting. And my friend is with me, and he leans over and he says, hey, Chris, do you see that guy up there? He points behind the stage was a building with a flat roof. And on top of that building, there was a man who looked just like Osama bin Laden. He had a big turban on his head, a giant beard, dressed in a traditional Muslim outfit. He had a gun lifted up in the air. And he was dancing, and I'm walking toward him, and I thought, oh my goodness, I'm going to die.
Oh my gosh.
Fear had overwhelmed me. My friend leans over and says, do you see that guy up there? I said, yeah, I do. He goes, this might be how we go down, bro. Oh, and I thought, oh my goodness, you are not helping me. You are not helping me. In that moment of some of the worst fear I'd ever experienced in my entire life, all of a sudden, the word of God began to just come up out of my spirit. And I said, I will live and I will not die. And I will declare the works of the Lord. Though 1,000 fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, it will not come near me in the name of Jesus. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. And I just began to quote the word of God, and the word of God just started flowing out of my spirit, and all the fear, all the heaviness, all the weight, it broke off of me that day. And I can tell you, I've been to Pakistan 24 times and I have never felt fear like that ever again. We go and preach the gospel with clarity and boldness, knowing that at the end of the day, we trust in Jesus. We trust his holy word. And it is all done by faith.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. I love that so much. You know, a couple of months ago, he's bringing it up on my heart now. He said to me, I am the reason 1,000 fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. You know, so it's so interesting to me. Like, he is the word. And yes, we go by the logos, the written word. And the Rhema word.
Right.
But it's so interesting to me. He just has such a way with words. And going back to that one word that you were talking about when Peter walked out of the boat, how cool is Jesus? He says one word, come.
Yeah.
One word, come. I love that about him so much. He doesn't use a lot of words, but they're always so perfect and poignant,
yeah,
and impactful for what he needs.
Yeah. And that's all we need. Just need one word. Maybe there's somebody going through something right now.
Yeah.
And it's like you're going through a situation. Grab hold of one word. If it's just one word from scripture, if it's one word that God spoke to you by the Spirit, if it's one word of encouragement, one prophetic word somebody once told you years and years ago. Sometimes that's all we need, is that one word from God, and we grab a hold of it. We lay hold of it by faith. We trust in the word, and God does the supernatural in our lives.
I love that so much. You know, oftentimes, like before I've stepped out and I've done something in ministry, it's because I've been alone with him and he said to do it. And
yes.
So a lot of times we need to get that word and we need to hang on to it, because just like Peter, when he gets out of the boat, the enemy's not just going to roll over. He's going to throw storms and things like that to get our eyes off of Jesus. But we need to
That's
hang
right.
on to that one word.
That's
if
right.
He said to do it, you do it.
Absolutely.
So on
Absolutely.
The hell or high water, you do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, there were so many times in my life too where, you know, different times where I knew God had called me to do something, but fear wants to get in the way, or insecurities, or feeling like I'm not going to be able to do this, or I'm not going to make it, or whatever. And every time I go back to, what did the Lord say?
Yeah.
What did God, if God said it, then I yeah. believe it. And if he said it, it will come to pass in Jesus' name. And you just stand on that word. That's all we can do, is stand Amen. On his word. And when we do, by faith in Jesus' name, we will see the victory in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Well, this has been so fun.
Amen.
Is there anything burning on your heart you'd like to say directly to our listeners?
Yeah, I just want to encourage you. Obviously, go out, get the book, get Activating Miracles. You can buy it anywhere that you might buy books, whether it's at bookstores, Amazon. You can go to our website, chrismichaelson.com. But I want to encourage you to live a supernatural lifestyle. It's not just about all of these healing miracles or supernatural things like walking on water,
yeah.
but sometimes the greatest miracle of all is the miracle of salvation. And really, that's what miracles are for. That's what it all boils down to. It's about bringing people to a place of realization and knowing and encountering Jesus. And when they encounter Jesus, everything changes, you know? And so I want to encourage you to live that lifestyle of the supernatural, believing God for miracles. The book has an incredible story. It starts out with how I went and preached the gospel near the Afghanistan border in a town that was once the headquarters for Al-Qaeda. Mm-hmm. And then how I came back and led one of the U.S. Navy SEALs who was at the raid with Osama bin Laden the night our Navy SEALs captured him. He was there that night, and how I led this man to the Lord on my front door. I'm telling you, friends, God wants to use us in the supernatural. And we want to give you the keys in Activating Miracles to start living a supernatural, faith-filled, miraculous lifestyle in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Will you pray for our listeners today?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Father, I thank you in the mighty name of Jesus for each and every person under the sound of my voice. Lord, I thank you for them. Lord, I pray that you would begin to activate the miraculous in their life, that they would see their friends and relatives and acquaintances get saved, that they'd see people healed, delivered, set free, that they would see the power of God flow through them, and that their calling would be activated, and that they would start walking in the call of God by the power of God in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, if there's anyone sick, I command their bodies to be healed right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I just feel the anointing of God. I thank you right now for complete and total healing in your body in the name of Jesus. We send the word right now and we say, be healed in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you and we promise to give you all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. This was so fun.
Yeah, you're absolutely welcome. Thank you so much, Christina, for having me on. It was a joy and an honor.
Oh, good. Well, I hope and I pray today's episode has blessed you. I will have links from today's podcast and resources in the show notes under Revealing Jesus with Christina Pereira, wherever you get your podcasts. And there you can find ways to connect with our special guest, Chris Michelson. And don't forget to pick up a copy of his new book, Activating Miracles, Enter into Supernatural Faith Without Limits. Until next week, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of Jesus. God bless.
Beloved, let me introduce you to my King. He is altogether lovely. No matter which way you turn him, he is perfection personified. He is velvet and steel. He is meekness and majesty. He is glory and humility. He is kindness and strength. He is altogether lovely, and he is my King, and he can be yours as well. All day long, he holds his hand that you might take, that you might turn one step, one grasp, one yes, one breath away from the arms of your loving Savior. Beloved, if you hear him calling today, do not harden your heart. The Bible declares that not one of us is guaranteed another moment upon this earth. So pray this prayer with me today and run into the arms of the one who loves you, who knows you best. Father, I ask you to forgive me for all of my sin, for all of the places that I have fallen short, God, of your glorious standard. I ask you now to send your Son into my heart, to be the forgiveness of my sin, to be my redemption, to be my righteousness, to be my holiness, to be my sanctification. I ask you to forgive me, to cleanse me, to fill me with your Spirit, your power, your glory, that I might bring glory to your name, Father. I thank you that I receive all of this by faith in the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself up for me. I thank you that I am now a child of God, fully forgiven, fully righteous, fully holy in your eyes. And I ask you to help me walk out this life in a way that pleases and honors you, Father. I thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done. I thank you for your love, for your kindness, for your great joy in saving me. And I thank you, Father, and I thank you, Holy Spirit. And I pray all of these things in your beautiful Son's name. Amen. If you've just prayed that prayer for the first time, I want to congratulate you. You are now a child of God, and all things are now yours. Keep listening to Revealing Jesus. Find a good Bible translation that makes sense to you, and keep hearing about our beautiful Savior Jesus. Please let us know. We want to continue to pray for you. And we want to send you a free PDF copy of our New Believer Workbook. Just go to christinapereira.org/welcome-home. Enter your email address and we will be happy to send this free gift. And continue to pray for your journey. God bless. I sincerely hope and pray today's episode has blessed you. Now it's your turn to continue the conversation. We are all evangelists of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Like this episode, rate it, share it with a friend. If it's impacted your life, let them know that you want it to do the same in theirs. Help spread the word of the good news of Jesus. Subscribe to the mailing list and get episodes, articles, downloads, and more sent right to you. Link in show notes or just text Jesus to 1-833-815-7778. Again, that's Jesus, 1-833-815-7778. We would love to connect with you on social media. You can find us at Christina Pereira Ministries on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Until next week, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of Jesus. God bless.